Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Silver and Black Today, Friday edition, brought to you by, as always, our good friend Salmon Ash, injury attorney. 702-820-1234 is that number, because you deserve what's right. If you're in trouble, you need some help, call them. Even if you just want some advice, they'll give it to you. Even if you're not looking for an attorney, that's what good folks they are. So give Salmon Ash. Also, big shout out to our supporters here on the show. Of course, attorney Michael Troiano. If you have any criminal defense needs, whether it's a simple DUI or something more serious, you can give Michael Troiano a try there. Try out Vegas, TroianoVegasLaw.com. And then our good friends at the Local 872, the Laborers Union, they built the stadium. It's all good there as well. We appreciate all of their support. We're back to talking Raider football. We're back to taking callers. We're going to go right to it because we've just had so many calls today. We're bringing in Snake Man from South Carolina. He's back with us. He's going to give us a score prediction. He's going to tell us why the Raiders win or why the Raiders lose. What you got, Snake Man?
Scott, Q, Mo, what's going on, man? Exciting times, man. I'm going to tell you what's going on with this game. I think we're going to run the ball a lot, but I actually think we're going to throw the ball to the running back a lot in this game. My surprise run offense is going to be a Foster Moreau. I actually think the Raiders run a lot of 12 personnel, maybe even 13 personnel, or even 22 personnel against them. I wish Engel was a little bit healthier, but I was going to pick him as my surprise, my star on offense, but I'm going to go with Foster Moreau on this one because I feel like Gruden's got this toy still under the tree. He hasn't unwrapped all of them yet, and I keep waiting. I think we've all been waiting all year long for Moreau to kind of, like, you know, emerge here, and I can see this game. I can see them sneaking Moreau out because I think Kansas City is going to stack that box because they have to stop the Raiders from running the ball. So based on that, I'm going to say that the running backs, we'll get some good action out of the backfield on some passes, but I think Moreau is the guy who might score a couple touchdowns on offense. Then on defense, man, I don't know, Mo or Scott or Q, have you guys heard anything about the Chiefs' tackles? Are they ready for this game? What's the deal?
Schwartz is out.
Yeah.
And he's out for sure. So they're definitely without one. The other, I think they were still uncertain on. So they're definitely down one.
Okay, that's the case. I'm picking Maurice Hurst then because I think they're going to double team probably Crosby a little bit more. And I think Hurst has a chance to really do some damage on the inside if they're doubling up on Crosby. So I'm going to pick Hurst to be my guy coming off, you know, a couple of nice little period here where he ought to be chomping at the bit to get after. So I'm going to pick Hurst. And if these nitwits win this game somehow, even if they don't, and I don't think they are, I'll give them my score in a minute, I think we need to egg the hell out of their bus anyway, just for shits and giggles. I'm going to pick the Raiders 34-26.
34-26, right. Raiders. Got That's it. Close. All right, Snake Man. Thanks, man. We appreciate you. Have a good
I got
day.
An update real quick. Matt Derrick, who does a good job covering the Chiefs, he said, unless anything changes in the next 24 hours, the Chiefs will, you already mentioned Mitchell will be out, Schwartz will be out for sure, but unless anything changes, they'll also be without wide receiver Mecole Hardman and offensive lineman Martinez Rankin, who are on the COVID-19 reserve right now. So basically, they got to know something in the next 24 hours.
Yep, there you go. So, yeah, everybody's facing the same thing, right, with this COVID thing. Yeah,
exactly.
The Raiders had a bigger number of players impacted on the defensive side. But clearly, I mean, everybody's just going through what everybody's going through. But, Q, one of the things that Snake Man talked about, Mo talked about last hour when he joined us, was, you know, what they might do differently against the Raiders, the Chiefs, that is, on defense, to stop that offense. And he touched on it there, which was stacking the box. When you look at what they might do, that Foster Moreau has come up with a couple callers, and I think that's a good call because they know Witten, they know Waller, they're going to kind of focus on those guys. You bring in Moreau, he might be a nice change of pace, especially on some check down passes from Derek Carr.
Yeah, no, he could be a major, you know, factor because he hasn't really been at all this season, and he's a guy that all of Raider Nation knows what he could bring to the table. So I wouldn't bet against Foster Moreau. He did a lot of good things his rookie year and even to start this season off. One guy I'll say that nobody's mentioned as a guy that everyone wants to see get cooking. Mm-hmm. How about Henry Ruggs?
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean? If you stack the box, I wish you would.
Yeah.
You know the old saying, I wish a would.
Yes, sir.
Stack the box, Kat.
Bring it.
Let me see what, what you do with this speed.
Yes, and you know what, though, too? I wonder, because last game in October, we saw John Gruden, you know, he kept a little bit of the playbook. His playbook is massive, of course, we know, but it just for a figure of speech, kind of secret until they got to the Chiefs game, and then he brought out some stuff. That's where the fans were really excited. They said he's being aggressive. He's doing things we haven't seen this year.
Right.
Maybe this is the time where you take Ruggs and you start doing some slant patterns. You start doing some stuff across the middle.
Man, that would be such a blessing to see, because that's where he excels, man. That's his bread and butter right there. Slants, crossing patterns. Your average defensive back cannot hang with Ruggs on a crossing pattern. He'll lose him as he crosses the field.
Exactly. And that's why I've always told people so far, we've talked about some folks being concerned about Henry Ruggs, and I've said no, because if you watch the film or you watch the games and you see what he's doing, he's not being asked to do anything but those vertical patterns for the most part. Now he's had some runs, he's had some, you know, bubble screens here and there, but overall he's not had the crossing pattern, so maybe they introduce that as well. We're going to go out on the phone lines again to Mando in San Jose, California.
408.
Mando, bring it. What do you got?
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, sure.
Awesome.
You there, Mando?
Yeah. So I just want to say regarding Derek Carr, 2016, he broke his leg. 2017, he broke his back, and it's not growing hand. 2018, he gets Gruden. So right after all those injuries, you get a brand new head coach, you get a brand new system, and at the same time, you're recuperating from your injuries. So now he's in Gruden's system for the third year. By this time, the reason why he's playing so good is not only is he fully recovered, both physically and mentally, from the injuries, but he's also understanding the injuries often. Now, when he's completely in charge of the offense, what does that do for him? It actually gives him the ability not just to implement the offense, but to be able to make a place out of broken plays. So just when there's a broken play, he goes ahead and makes a quick run for a first down, or just like that to a third and Renfro, wherein he scrambled to his right, broken play, tells Renfro to go to the left and throw that bomb.
Yeah. Mando, good call, man. I appreciate you. And Q, he brings up a point there, too. We go back to our first show on August 3rd with Lincoln Kennedy, and he talked about whether or not Derek Carr can make plays happen with his feet. We're starting to see it. I mean, obviously, health has something to do with that, but don't you think it's a combination of not only Derek Carr being healthier and put stringing together a couple years in the same offense, but also just purely confidence?
I think that's it right there, Scott. The C word, confidence. He's got confidence in what he's doing. He's got confidence in what Gruden wants him to do. And he's got confidence in himself as far as being healthy and being able to take a hit or two or put himself in harm's way and run and do all that. Yeah, that C word is spot on 100% mic drop.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think, too, I really believe in my heart of hearts here, man. I really believe there's two guys. I mean, the whole team wants this game, no question, okay? But the two guys who want it the most are Gruden and Carr, right? As the leaders. But I think for Carr, you know, we talked about earlier the fact that, you know, all these national guys, well, yeah, Carr beat him the first time, and yeah, Carr's 6-3. Yeah, he's having his best year, but he's not going to be there next year, right? Again, there's always a but.
Right.
Now, you go out and you beat these guys two times in the regular season, then suddenly what's your butt then? Like, what is it then? I mean, unless Patrick Mahomes goes down in the first quarter and doesn't play, then what is the butt? I don't think you would have one.
No, I don't see one, Scott, but I hesitate because
the game
I know
unfolds.
There's going to be one.
Yeah, they're going to find one, right?
Yeah, that's why what I was saying earlier about the national media, they're going to still, you know, everyone's like, well, they got to praise the Raiders if they go and win this game. Well, depending on how it shakes out, you're going to hear, yeah, well, this was the reason, or yeah, but this happened, or, you know what I mean? It's always going to be something. You'll get some guys that are honest and give you the real truth, but others are just going to make the yeah buts.
Yeah, that's I think That's true. And look, I know, and we've talked about it many, many times over, and I know we'll talk about it a lot again, the kind of chip on the shoulder for Raiders fans and how that's part of the culture, and I totally get that. I think Raiders fans sometimes buy into conspiracy theories about people being against the team that I think are false, but I think the thing you just hit on is actually true, which is no one wants to give this team credit until they absolutely run out of every type of excuse, if they can, to right. not give them credit. So the Raiders, all they can do, and all you fans can do, is just root for your team to win. If they continue to win, and suddenly we're down the road here, and they got 12 wins, they can deny all they want. You got 12 wins, okay?
Exactly.
Or wherever you get to. So it goes back. I know it's cliche. I know it's, you know, it's just part of the talking about the Raiders, which is just win, baby. If you just win, then guess what? It doesn't, who gives a damn what right. anybody thinks, because you're just winning.
Well, that's the fun of it.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't mind. You know, you can call and throw shade and say, well, they shouldn't have won that, or they got lucky here, they got lucky there. So, fine, fine. Yeah. 12 wins. How many wins does your team have? Enough said.
Exactly. It goes back to that. It's pretty straightforward, pretty simple when it comes to football. You just got to win the games. And I really do believe, we talked about this at the top of the show if you weren't with us, and that is, and this isn't just me being on the Raiders station and trying to play into the audience. It isn't really. The Raiders are in the head of the Chiefs. There's, to me, yep. no denying it. So it is what it is. But I think, again, you go out and win. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take some more of your phone calls, and we'll get to the Friday edition, the Chiefs Week edition of the Q-Tip, which I'm really looking forward to. I'm sure it's going to be great. Right here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
The autumn wind is a raider, and when it blows, it comes from the Las Vegas desert. Back to Silver and Black Today, here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Silver and Black Today, back here on this Friday, Chiefs Week. How pumped up are you, Raider Nation? Come on now. Gotten lots of
up. I can hear them.
Lots of great callers. 702-365-9200. We got a couple on the line. We'll get to you in just a few minutes, but first, it's time for a Chiefs Week Friday version of the Q-Tip.
I can't hear you, Peach.
It's time to listen up, Raider Nation.
Can't hear you, Peach.
Clear out those ears and get ready for the Q-Tip. Your boy Q's daily take on what you need to hear.
That very precision seems to drive Q-Tip fans right over the edge.
Like it or not.
You know, we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier in the show, but this goes back to before the season really got started. And Derek Carr was meeting with the media, and a lot of people made a big to-do about him saying, you know, I'm tired of being disrespected, and everyone took it wrong. It's like, well, go win games, whatever. And I went on here, and I was very, as a matter of fact, about he's not just talking about him. He's talking about Rodney Hudson. He's talking about Trent Brown. He's talking about Josh Jacobs, Mad Max Crosby. He's talking about his team. Well, this Sunday is an opportunity for his team, regardless if it's going to be national or not, to get that respect. Put that respect on their name, like Birdman would say. You know what I mean? Just, you want to go out there and get that respect. This is the type of game that you go and you win in your house. You know, you talked about it multiple times, Scott. Protect your home. And I know there's not, you know, Raider fans in the building because of the issues that, you know, everyone's dealing with this season. But in your home, you defend it. And you can see that this is not a game where it's like the Raiders are tiptoeing into it. And, well, you know, if they play a perfect game, then maybe they'll win. That's something that I was even saying earlier in the season. You play a perfect, clean game, yeah, you can win. I think you go in there and you just get into the middle of the ring and you have a heavyweight knockout, drag out type fight. You know what I mean? You just exchange blows and the last man standing wins. And this is a game where now Raider Nation, I think, is a lot of people, as you heard on the phone lines today, the Raiders are expected to win in this game. You yeah. know, earlier in the season, it was like, no way, can't win this game. Sure, ain't going to win them twice, beat them twice. Now it's like there's a lot of expectations. You know, there's a lot of people that are doubting the Raiders as well. But there's so many expectations right now. A lot of people, at least Raider Nation, are believing in this team now and what they've been seeing. And it's something about peaking at the right time. You don't have to be the best team the first week of the season. You got to be the best team the last week of the season. And when I mean that, I mean the playoffs and making a run during the playoffs. That's what they're trending to right now. Like, and we talked to Hunter. We talked to Devontae Booker earlier this week, and I asked both of them, how close do you guys think you are to peaking? Both guys, we're close. Not there yet, but close. This team, Raider Nation, is a team you need to believe in, and they're going to show you and prove it on Sunday night versus the Chiefs.
There you go. Excellent. Couldn't agree more, as always. Good stuff. And I think that you're right. I think that this team, especially coming into this game, you're on a three-game winning streak, and you're coming in, you're an eight-point underdog at home, and no one stands, yeah, okay, Nate Burleson, a couple other guys,
right,
are giving you a shot. They're telling you, no, right, no. What happened the first time was just an aberration. You got lucky. You caught them on a bad day. Right? It had nothing to do with your game plan or your execution or any of that stuff, which we all know is bull. They played a great game against the Chiefs. And yeah, exactly. Did the Chiefs play their best game all the way around? No, but that's what happens when you lose.
I mean, exactly. No one who loses plays their best game.
Exactly.
That would be something right there.
Exactly. It's just, it blows my mind. And again, everybody on this show knows I'm not always a big homer. I kind of tell it like it is. If I really think that the Raiders didn't have a shot in this game, or if I thought the Chiefs were going to roll, I would tell you that.
Yep.
But that's not the case in this game on Sunday night. All right, we're going to go back on the phone lines. Alan in Las Vegas. Alan in Las Vegas, you're on with Scott and Q. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just tuned in a few minutes ago, and he just got me fired up. I'm ready for this game and this weekend. I want to talk about the defense just real quick. When they last played the Chiefs, I had never seen Mahomes so frustrated and flustered after a three and out. And you know that our defense got to him mentally, and you know what? We showed the lead that it can be done. We can beat the Chiefs offense, but it also taught us, the fans, and it taught the team that, hey, not only can we beat them, we can beat them again, and we can beat them at home.
There you go. Alan, great call, man. We appreciate it. Q, you got people fired up, ready to run through walls.
Hey, man, that's what I do. I've always said I was a good hype man. I was never the good rapper MC. I'm a great hype man.
There you go. I love it. Okay, we're going back on the phones in just a second here. So hold on. If you're on the line, we will get you on. We promise. I will get you on today. It's too big of a week, too big of a game not to get the members of Raider Nation who want to call in. It's Mitch in Fresno. Mitch, you're on with Scott and Q.
559.
Yeah, hey, I just want to back up my boy Derek Carr.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I was at the last three games last year in Oakland, a lot of people talking crap on him. And, I'm sitting there, and we got Zay Jones out there. Yeah. You know, to me, the only real weapon we had was Darren Waller at the time. You know, not to dog out Zay Jones. I like him, but he didn't have a lot of weapons. So, you know, I've always known Derek Carr is a good quarterback, and I remember all the bad days when we had Kerry Collins and we had, bad quarterbacks. So, you know, people need to appreciate what we got right now. Yeah, the dude wants to be a Raider, and he works hard, and I think he's a good quarterback as long as you put good weapons around him.
Yeah, Mitch, I agree with that, and you're right. I know a lot of the Carr haters would say, oh, it's always about weapons. But last year, Darren Waller had 90 catches as a tight end,
right.
Okay?
Yep.
That's not what you want. Nothing against Darren Waller. Nothing against Darren Waller. You want to be able to do what they're doing this year, which is when we talk to Hunter Renfro every Monday at 3:20 on this show on 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfro. We talk about that because everybody loves Hunter, and Hunter doesn't always get a lot of targets, right? But he does, he catches, and he says, look, he's like, I don't care how many targets I get as long as we win the game.
Right.
And now they got the weapons to spread it around, right? So, all right, we're going out to our good friend Steven in New Orleans. Steven, what's going on?
Hey, guys, so it's Chiefs week, so I'm not going to make the mistake I made on the Bucks week when the whole offensive line was out and I said, they're going to win. I'm not going to do that. But last year I went to the Houston game and I watched Trayvon Mullen just barely miss a pick six,
mm-hmm.
and he's due. So I don't know what the score is going to be, but I'm predicting a Trayvon Mullen pick six and a physical football game that will make us proud. And the smash mouth football, Josh Jacobs is healthier for the second half this year when he was really banged up by the fifth week of the season last year. And I think getting Colton back could be great. I just think we're going to play good old-fashioned pound the rock, John Gruden football. Even when he beat us in the Super Bowl that year, he said, they don't ever run the ball. We're going to run the ball up the Chiefs. They know it's coming. It's mano a mano, and I don't think they can stop it. So that's my shot. I'm not going to predict a score. I'm not going to predict a victory. But I think it's going to be a hard-fought game, and hopefully the more physical team will win. And have a good weekend, guys. Thank you.
All right, Steven, thanks. Have some shrimp etouffee for me, would you? All right. My man, Steven in New Orleans. I'm nice. Craving some Cajun food now. All right, Steve in Vegas, you're up next here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
Hey, you guys, I love the Raiders, okay, for everything they've done for the community, you know. But Andy Reid is bent, man. I mean, he is pissed. And I think Chelsea's going to have a huge day. 42-17, Chiefs Kingdom.
Ah, Steve, Chiefs fan calls. And all right, so you got 42-17 Chiefs, and he hangs up. I don't know. He does beer muscles, I guess, huh?
I must say that wasn't very, as a matter of fact, or very, you know, tough. I mean, you can't hang up without a response.
I know. What's the deal with that?
Well, I mean,
don't mind. Hey,
good.
If you're a Chiefs fan, you want to call in, I got no problem with that. Just stick around.
Yeah, it's all good.
Just stick around and do some mano y mano or whatever it may be. But
it's all good.
It's
so,
all
yeah, 42-17, that's pretty major. And look, this is the thing. Andy Reid being pissed is so out of his character.
Exactly.
He doesn't get worried about stuff like that. I was talking to John McClain earlier today from the Houston Chronicle on my other radio show, and he even brought it up. I wasn't even going to talk Raiders. He brought it up, and he's like, man, I can't believe that Andy Reid even talked about it, but he keeps bringing it up about this stupid bus. He's like, nobody would even known if he hadn't said nothing. So he's like, that's very uncharacteristic of Andy Reid. So he's really bothered by this.
He is, and you know what I like about this? If you're a Raiders fan, if you're the Raiders organization, is for all these years now, and of course, since Andy Reid got there, what, 2013? Since he got there, the Raiders have kind of been an also-ran in the division. Yeah, they had a couple moments here and there, right? But other than that, they have not been a threat. Now they're a real, real threat, okay?
Well.
They beat you at home. Nobody thought that was going to happen. I didn't think it was going to happen. You did. You did. Yes. I did not. So now you have a real threat in your division. You're looking at that young team and you're saying, wow, they got it together on offense already. The defense hasn't been good, but it's getting better. And he's seen the last three games. He knows. He's watched the film.
Right.
It's starting to come together. They're coming for you, right? And so now you don't like that. Now you're getting pissed. So now you're off your game. And the Chiefs fan who just called in, he wouldn't stick around. Look, him being bent. Great. You know what happens when you're angry and you get overly emotional?
You're off your game.
You make mistakes.
Yep, exactly.
So
unless that's just what you do, unless you're just, you know, your DNA is, you know, you chalk trash and you get better like an old school Gary Payton or like Dennis Rodman, you know, cats like that that got into people's heads and just kind of that even got them playing a little bit better. But I will say, man, that this is gonna be fun. And you mentioned the Raiders being a threat; they absolutely are a threat. And I will say, even though I picked the Raiders early in the season to win that game in Arrowhead, I didn't think that the Chiefs would only have one loss on the season at this point, and it would only be to the Raiders. That I will say is a surprise, and I think that surprises a lot of people, especially Chiefs fans.
Yes, and so let me get to my prediction for the game, okay? Because it came to me in a dream, and this is no joke. Okay.
It was all a dream. Bobby to hit some biggie. Come on, Bobby.
He's working on that for you.
That was a cue point right there.
Know. He's waiting for you.
Oh,
here he
comes. Come on, man. Radio.
Bobby's,
radio, brother.
Bobby's coming
ahead.
On. Bobby's got words.
No. Overtime. Sorry. You're lucky I'm still sitting up.
Oh, man. Don't tell me about no overtime, brother. I can tell you all night about that.
Oh, yeah. So here's the dream. So, Q, I have this dream where I'm like, I don't see myself, so I'm like out of body. I'm just on the field somewhere, like I'm like a camera, right? So I'm on the field, and I look up at the scoreboard at Allegiant Stadium, and it says 27-24 Chiefs. And the Raiders are on offense, and they're in the red zone, okay? And it just all unfolds like it's a movie. And Derek Carr is back. He gets pressured, and he rolls out to his left. And as he's rolling out, he throws the ball into the end zone, and there is, of all people, we're talking about all these people who are going to step up and be the hero of the game. Jason Witten catches a touchdown, and the Raiders win 30-24. Now, I don't know if it was in overtime or it was at the end of the game in the fourth quarter. So that was the dream. I don't know what my mind was playing tricks on me, what it was trying to say to me.
This is your dream?
This was my dream. It was just a football dream.
That was another cue for you, Bobby. You could hit some.
I'm trying to decide how many things I can say without having to hit a dump. You need to come up with better, much more creative dreams.
What do you mean? It was a dream. I didn't come up with it.
If you're dreaming about the bleeping Raiders, I mean, you need to do something else. You know, you're putting too much of your mindset into this. This is not healthy.
But this is what happened. I'm just telling you. I don't get to
wait. Hold on, Bobby.
What I dream.
Are you talking about healthy when you told us that you, as a youngster, would drink a fifth of Jack?
That was then. This is
and
now.
Sold
catch
dope.
Wait. Yeah.
What kind of health are we talking about here?
Psychological health for this poor boy. He's sitting here dreaming about the bleeping Raiders.
Football. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
That's good.
That's good. It's wholesome.
I got to get back to FM rock radio. Y'all scaring me.
You ain't lying. You need to hit some Biggie and some Scarface or some Ghetto Boys. It was, you know, my mind's playing tricks on me.
Apparently it is.
He has no idea what I'm talking about.
No,
I'm trying to learn you, Bobby. I'm trying to educate you, brother.
None whatsoever.
That's all right.
You could put it in an email with a link and I still wouldn't know.
Clearly.
Well, so that was the dream, man. So I'm picking the Raiders 30-24. I don't know if my dream will come true exactly, but I'm going to, because that score, those numbers were in my head. They were in the dream. They came to me 30-24, which I actually like because, and again, I'm not a big bettor, but if you look at the over-under on this game, it's 57.
Okay.
And I like the Raiders. The Raiders' ground game is doing so. The Raiders' ground game should be getting national attention, and it's getting zero.
Okay. I think it's getting some.
Yeah, a little
especially
bit.
Especially the dual you know, threat between Jacobs and Booker. I think it's starting to get a little love.
Yeah, it's starting to get a little love, but I think that's going to be the difference. And I do think one of the callers earlier mentioned receptions by wide receivers. I think Josh Jacobs is going to get a few catches today or Sunday and make a big deal out of that. So I think the Raiders win. I think they win 30-24 in a really close fought game. And you can talk all you want about the Chiefs scoring 35 points every week, but I just think they're in their head, and I think that's going to make the difference.
Can I give you a it was all a dream?
Yeah.
Can I? For sure.
Go ahead.
Don't get mad.
No.
Oh, no, never mind. It's a commercial. It would have been on cue.
Oh,
Bobby had it, man.
He had it. Okay, so we're going out to Manuel in Fresno.
Manuel.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Q. How's it going?
Good, brother.
Chilling.
Hey, so the thing is, all this Chiefs interview they've been doing, all these analysts have been saying about them going to just come in, destroy us. Look, all our guys get paid too. Our defense is not the same defense from last year, the year before. They think that they're just going to come in and just take it out on us. It ain't going to happen. Our defense is a lot better. We have Jonathan Abram out there now. He's the intimidator. He's going to get into their head. He's going to talk smack to them. But our defense, we got a way better defense than we've been having. And I think they kind of lose that, and it's not the same Raider team from last year, the year from last. It's all different. Our offense is going to, like I said, they're going to play gritty. They're going to run the ball. They're going to play their game. And, yeah, they're totally in the Chiefs' head. And I'm kind of going with Q on his points on the 34-20. I kind of think I'm liking that point spread right there. So
there you go. That a boy.
But player of the game, I'm going to sneak it. It's going to be Hunter Renfrow. I think Hunter Renfrow is going to have a good game. I'm just feeling it.
You know what? And that would be awesome for our show because he'll be on the show Monday.
All right.
Thanks, Manuel. Perfect. We appreciate it, man. Hey, take care.
You know, I think that Hunter is going to have a big game as well. But I really feel like he's on the verge, and we've been saying this now for a couple weeks. He's on the verge of breaking one, man, and taking it to the house. Yep. We saw what he did last week. If the Raiders have an opportunity to make the Chiefs punt and back them up, there's something about that line drive punt and Hunter getting an opportunity. He's got enough wiggle in his body to take it, if not all the way back to the house, pretty close. I think he's going to have a big game as far as the return game goes.
I love that. And I think, too, the Raiders special teams the last 2 weeks particularly has been excellent. I know a lot of people don't talk special teams, but it is. Okay, time for our last break. When we come back, we'll roll through a couple calls that we have left online. So if CT in Vegas, Tim in Texas, you're coming up next. Stay there. And then we'll bring on our good friend Vinny Bonsignore, get the latest news update on the Raiders from practice today. You're with Scott. You're with Q on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Silver and Black Today. Here's Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
All right, we are at the home stretch here on Silver and Black Today, powered by our friend Salmon Ash. Injury attorney, salmonash.com, because you deserve what's right. Q Myers, Scott Gulbranson with you as we take your calls. We have gone through a ton of calls today. People are fired up. You can feel it around Vegas. It is Sunday Night Football coming to Allegiant Stadium, the Death Star, the Big Al, whatever you want to call it. It is as good as it gets, Raider Nation. You should be excited. You should be backing your team. You should be cheering on your quarterback, your defense. It doesn't matter. It is time for a grudge match. All right, we're going out to CT in Vegas. CT, you're with Q and Scott.
Hey, Q. Hey, Scott. What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, man.
Chilling.
Awesome. Glad to hear it. I personally think, you know, this game's going to be pretty close. I don't think it's going to be necessarily high scoring due to the fact that Kansas City, in which they lost, yes, good. I think they're going to come in more prepared, of course. And the Raiders are going to go in at home if they need to do, but I believe that they're going to totally switch up the book. They're not going to show Kansas what we did to them last time. We're going to go in a different direction. That's what Gruden seems to like to do, jump in plays and just switch it up where it looks like. When you watch the Raiders on TV, it's like, what are they doing? They look confused. Sometimes I think that's part of the game plan to throw the, you know, the other team off. That gets it in your head, like, you know, you get either, what's the word? You get like, oh, yeah, we got this, you know, or what are they doing? Yeah. And you take advantage of that because they're confused.
Yeah, no, CT, good call. Sorry, man, we're losing your phone there. But yeah, I think, look, I know the whole thing with Andy Reid off a bye, and it's true. I mean, the record speaks for itself. But at the same time, yeah, the Raiders aren't going to come in with this exact same game plan. They're going to use some of the things they learned, but they're going to mix it up too. So you're not going to see the same Raider team. And it's not the same Raider team. They've advanced since that point. No doubt.
Right, I agree. And that's the thing. If you went in with the same game plan, then it wouldn't work. Right. You have to switch things up a little bit at least.
Last call of the day is Tim in Texas. Tim, you're on with Scott and Q. What's going on?
Hello, how y'all doing? I'm from Lubbock, Texas. I live in Lubbock, Texas. The where Texas Tech is, where Patrick Mahomes went to school at. Mm-hmm. I am so sick and tired of hearing about Patrick Mahomes. We done got to the point down here where they don't even play the Houston Texans games on TV anymore. All they play is Kansas. All I got to look at is Kansas City every single week just because Patrick Mahomes played for Kansas City Chiefs. I was so hyped that when the Raiders beat them the first time, I ran around like a chicken with my head cut off because I am sick and tired of hearing about Patrick Mahomes. I am hyped for this game, and I hope they beat the crap out of them. Not like they did the last time, by 15, 20 more points.
Ooh.
That I know that Raider Nation would be ecstatic with that. Tim, thanks for the call, man. As would Gangster Raider, who had them with, I think, the most points that we predicted. Okay.
So is he not a Red Raider fan?
Apparently
that's my
not.
Question.
Get it? He's a Raider, but not a Red Raider. There you go. Oh. All right. We are at that point of the show. We're going to check in with the man who knows more than all of us because he is the man on the beat every single day, 24/7. Of course, he also hosts In the Huddle next here on Raider Nation Radio. That's Vinny Bonsignore. He hosts that with Lincoln Kennedy. Vinny, great news today for the Raiders after a strange, strange week leading up to this big game. They get LaMarcus Joyner back, who comes off COVID, and it looks like Colton Miller is going to play.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the Raiders need some good news right now. They've been struggling with injuries. They've been struggling with COVID-19. But everything so far is on target for Colton to play on Sunday, LaMarcus to play on Sunday, and the other players that went on the COVID high-risk contact list earlier this week to be back on Sunday as well. So probably very doubtful on Clee Farrell. We don't know what Corey Littleton's status is. He hasn't practiced all week, hasn't been at the facility that I know of. But he's still, if you do the timeline, there's some eligibility for him to be able to come back. We just don't know how he feels, if he's symptomatic, all that type of stuff. They're keeping a tight lid on all that, and rightfully so. But if they could get Corey Littleton back as well, all the better. Although at this point, it seems like a long shot that he would be able to play.
Do you think that the Raiders have David Irving this, if he, you know, if he passes all his tests? But I know he's on the practice squad right now.
Yeah, I would think that after the performance that he had on Sunday against the Denver Broncos, it wasn't a great performance, but for a guy that hadn't played in, what, a year and a half?
Exactly.
I think it's been, if not longer. It wasn't a bad performance. So he got involved, got his feet wet, and really for him, I think it's more just about getting physically fit to play football again. And so he took a step in the right direction on Sunday against the Broncos. It would have been nice if he could have practiced this week. But obviously COVID reared its ugly head and the Raiders have to deal with it. But I think if he's ready to go off the protocol, good chance that he gets especially with Klee not playing.
Vinny, now I know you mentioned earlier about Corey Littleton and, you know, again, health and safety are number one above football, no matter what. So we hope he's doing well. But have you have any indication as to why we've not heard anything? I mean, I guess the safe assumption is that maybe he's had some symptoms and he hasn't just been feeling well, or could there be something else happening there?
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, when you look at all the protocols, there's a 10-day period minimum, you know, unless you pass a bunch of different other hurdles, and that's a lot, you know, a series of negative tests coming back over the course of a period of time. I have a feeling, and this is just a guess because they don't, you know, release all this information, but the stricter protocols are when you do have symptoms. So you have to clear more hurdles based on that. So he went on the COVID list 8 days ago, right? It was Thursday of last week, so it's 8 days. If he's okay and if he's symptom-free at this point and he's testing negative, then theoretically he could be back Sunday, which would have been the 10 days. But again, we don't know what the symptoms are or, you know, when he's testing positive. And hopefully that is the case that he's been testing positive recently. So it's just all predicated on all that type of stuff, which we don't have the information.
I know that Paul Gunther met with the media, not today, but yesterday. Vinny, to me, he seemed like he was pretty relaxed and chilled. And as a matter of fact, did you pick up on that too? What was your thoughts when you heard what Paul Gunther had to say on Thursday?
I could be completely wrong, but I thought there was a little bit of sarcasm and feigned. Oh my God, what are we going to do? How can we beat
exactly.
this team?
Right.
Obviously, he doesn't feel like that. They just beat them a month ago. So I think he was just – but here's the thing. If you're going to do that, you got to make sure that everyone gets the joke. And it doesn't seem like all Raider fans got the joke because I heard a lot about it. And why did he do that? Seemed unprofessional. Why would you say that you can't beat – the Chiefs. So I'm like, I listened to it about 10 times. I'm like, I'm hearing, oh my gosh,
obvious.
How could we do, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was obvious.
But you know
me
what it
too,
is? You know what it
but
is,
I don't
Vinny?
Want to be presumptuous.
No, but you hear it and you see it because we're on the Zoom call and we can see his face. And I'm sure some Raider fans saw it too, but a lot of them see the quote tweeted and they jump from that. So they don't, again, that's why I said the context. And you're right. You could tell a joke better. And maybe next time if he rolled his eyes or did a little chuckle afterwards, people would understand it a little better.
But
go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt you, but this is a pet peeve of mine with my industry.
Yeah.
If you're going to put it out there, you better be sure what the context was. And if there was context to put it in better perspective, you have to make that clear as a writer if you're going to tweet it out. All it takes is an apprentice sarcastically or you know, jokingly so that everyone knows what's really up. Because if you just read that, obviously, like, what the hell is this coach talking about, you know? And why would anybody in his locker room believe anything that he has to say after that if he's showing zero faith in them? But that wasn't the case. He was obviously joking and kind of pulling a reverse Lou Holtz. Remember back in the day, Lou Holtz, coach of Notre Dame, would talk up whoever they were playing as if they were the national champions. and I just thought he did it in a funny, sarcastic way. I think Q got the joke. Raider fans should follow Q's lead on this one.
Well, and again, we're talking with Vinny Bonsignore, who hosts In the Huddle with Lincoln Kennedy, coming up next here at 4 o'clock on Raider Nation Radio. Vinny, with all this stuff about Andy Reid, we've been talking a little bit about maybe, and maybe it's because we're coming at it from the perspective of being here in Las Vegas, being on the Raiders flagship station, but it just seems like the Raiders are in the Chiefs' heads a little bit more than you would anticipate, because Andy Reid is always a cool cucumber, right? He's not really shaken. He doesn't get into the whole rivalry thing, bold board stuff, but he did mention it enough, which is a little bit, I think, more out of character for him than usual. Not saying it was something drastic, of course, but what do you make of that and what's going on here? Is it, my assertion is, look, the Chiefs recognize it's a big game for them for so many different reasons, but also they recognize that, hey, that little brother in the division is starting to grow up.
Yeah, and I have to look back to see if, from what I saw, somebody asked him a direct question about the Raiders doing the victory lap. And so he was answering a question and sharing his thoughts about it. Like, that's not our style, blah, 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 blah. I don't necessarily believe all that. But it wasn't like Andy was like, hey, by the way, guys, before we go, before we wrap this up, I just want to let you know.
Right.
These guys took a victory lap, you know, after the game. I don't know if you guys knew about this. So he was, even in that one, a little bit of perspective. He was answering a question, and the guy, I don't know who asked it, and I'm not going to pretend to know what his motivations were. He's trying to ruffle some feathers, but it obviously worked because Andy kind of bit and shared some of his own thoughts on it, and it made a headline and a lot of news. But I don't know if the Raiders are in the Chiefs' heads. This is a really good football team. They've been there, done that. You know, obviously, I'm sorry, it sticks in their craw that the Raiders handed them their only defeat this year. Patrick Mahomes played one of his worst games of the season, threw his only interception of the season. It's the division rival. It's the Raiders, a longtime rival. So that doesn't sit well with the Chiefs losing any time, but let alone to the Raiders.
Right.
So I'm sure they have in mind to send a message. But boy, I'll tell you what, they're not that healthy themselves. Not having Mitchell Schwartz is a big loss for them. It looks like he's not going to play, and there's a few others that are very, very doubtful at this point. So this is a good opportunity, I think, for the Raiders, and what a message they can send, not just to everybody else in the AFC, but really in their own locker room. If they can complete this sweep, underhanded as they are, dealing with the circumstances that they're dealing with, if they could get the Chiefs again, man, I don't know. That really sets themselves up in a confident from a confidence standpoint.
Well, Vinny, and you're way closer than I'll probably ever be, and you know Scott's obviously there as well. But the thing about it is, from what I'm sensing from a distance, they absolutely 100% believe that they should win this game. Not that they could, but that they should.
Yeah, and you know, you're right. And it's not an arrogance either.
No.
I've really, really been impressed with the mental makeup of this team and the maturity of this team. And the fact that all these young guys, and we've talked about this, you guys, when you draft players from Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, I mean, I'm not saying that that's the NFL, the level of play you know, where they played in college, but it was the highest level that you could possibly play at that level. They don't come to the NFL intimidated by anything. Heck, Henry Ruggs, Trayvon Mullen, Hunter Renfrow, all those guys practiced every single day against NFL players. And every other week, sometimes every week in the division, in the conference that they played in, they also played NFL players. Now, granted, it's a whole other level in the NFL. But it's not like they haven't seen NFL players before or played in high stakes, big time stages, games. So they're not intimidated, and I don't think they're intimidated by the Kansas City Chiefs whatsoever.
Yeah, and Vinny, before we let you go, we got about 2 minutes left. How do you see this game unfolding? The Raiders coming in, obviously, with this crazy week, but then, like you mentioned, the Chiefs have their issues, too, with injuries. How do you see it unfolding Sunday night at Allegiant Stadium?
Well, I think the recipe that the Raiders need to follow is kind of what they've been doing these last 3 weeks with running the ball. The Chiefs are not good stopping the run, and that's exactly what the Raiders do really, really well, especially lately. And that's interesting because if you think about it, the first time they played, the Raiders hadn't quite put the run game together. They were still struggling to run it the way they want to run it. Now they're running it the way they want it. these last 3 weeks, and they're playing a team that isn't all that good at stopping the run. Having said that, maybe they come out and throw it 50 times and flip the script, which they have at their disposal. That's the thing about this Raiders offense. They're so talented across the board, and Derek Carr has such a command offense that no matter what the Chiefs might be doing or trying to do, they feel like they have an answer to counter it.
Yep.
So the game that we're probably thinking of, which is pound the ball, run it, keep the Chiefs parked on the sidelines, can completely flip if what Derek is seeing is do something else and just be aggressive and throw the ball and let's score 50 points, that type of thing. So it'll be really interesting. But there's no doubt in my mind that the Raiders can make this a football game and put themselves in a position to win it at the end.
All right, Vinny Bonsignor coming up in the huddle next with, excuse me, with Lincoln Kennedy here on Raider Nation Radio. Vinny, we'll see you on Sunday. Have a great show.
All right, guys, have a good weekend, Q.
All right, brother, have a good one. See you.
All right.
Thank you, man.
For Q Myers, for Bobby Machado, I am Scott Cabranson. This has been the Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio. Have a good weekend, everybody.